gone. There is a scripture that we have often quoted here, and we often sing it. We sing the quote as well. And I think the Lord would have us take another lap around that mountain again. Hallelujah. As we ask for the manifest presence of God in our midst. The man Zerubbabel looks at a city that's been abandoned, depleted. The wall is left with great huge gaps in it. Everything looks like it's been either burned or torn down. And he is given the job of rebuilding it with not many resources. People are fighting him to rebuild it. It's interesting that the fight goes on all the way today. And I'm talking about today. Around that city of Jerusalem, there's battles going all the time. But in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, Zechariah 4, 6, as Zerubbabel is pondering what to do, how is he going to do this monumental task? Zechariah 4, 6, then he, being the Lord, answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Not the word of a cheerleader, not the word of somebody who wants to make a buck, but the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord says unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. There's never been a more true saying. Who art thou, O great mountain? Who art thou, O great mountain? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, flat. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto it. He shall bring forth that which he has been called to do. And in the end, he'll say, it's the grace of God. It's not by might or power of men. It is not by the might nor power of men, but by the power and might of the Spirit of the living God. Ponder that for a moment with me, if you will. You see, it doesn't matter how big the mountain is, because it's going to become a plain. It could be a little anthill and become a plain, or it could be Mount Everest and become a plain. The Spirit of the Lord don't care. This is Sister Carol talked about it. This is this power of God that makes mountains into plains. Somebody say amen. Who cares how big the mountain is, how impossible it is? To man, yes. You see, man's might and power are limited. But the Spirit of the Lord is unlimited. Often we see through these eyes what men and women can do. But we've got to get better eyesight. We've got to see what the Lord will do. What the Spirit of the Lord can do. I love this scripture. And I bring it every time. But for however many years, 75, 85, years, 90 years, on the Pentecostal evangelist, you went to an Assembly of God church. In every issue, the front cover, they would say, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. But, my thing today, how does this work practically? You and me need to know how to do this. How do we know to let the Spirit do it? What does that mean? Folks, things done by the Spirit of the Lord are not like stuff you've seen on TV when somebody wriggles their nose and the house is picked up. It's not magic. The Spirit of the Lord is not magic. You don't just sit back, put your feet up and say, well, Spirit of the Lord, you go ahead and do that. There's some practicality to this message that the Lord delivers through Zechariah to Zerubbabel. The anointing empowers us to do something or anything that the Lord requests of us. Let me say it again. This anointing of the Spirit of the Lord empowers us to do something or anything that the Lord requests of us. Anything. We need not look to see whether it's possible by man's means. What's that? It's very small, very limited. But we must see it through the eyes of the Spirit of the Lord and what He not only can do, but will do. An early example of this is a young fellow by the name of David versus a very big giant. David did not sit in the tent waiting for Goliath to drop dead. He went out and met him under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and power. You see what I'm saying? It's not magic. You have to do what the Lord tells you to do. But let me tell you something. We've tried to figure out the dimensions of Goliath. 9 feet 6 inches tall. I saw a guy in Costco the other day. He was 7'2". 7'2" tall. It's a long way up for me to look at him. Just look at him. He said, how do you know he's 7'2"? Because he had a business that said, a 7'2" somebody does this. So that's how I knew he was 7'2". I knew he was tall. The point of the matter is this. To David, it didn't matter how big Goliath was. He could have been 40 feet tall. It doesn't matter how big Goliath is. That's not the point. The point is, I'm coming under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of power. That's the point. I've studied that account. I don't like to call it a story because story implies that it might not be true. But I've studied this account. And do you know that Goliath didn't go into that valley alone? He had an armor bearer. And his armor bearer's job was to carry the shield. The shield was 9 feet tall. Yeah, we wouldn't want to mess with the armor bearer. And he would set that in front of Goliath. Goliath would peek over the top of that shield. Now listen, when David went down to pick up those stones, he only needed one. Maybe he had a little less faith than he should have, but I'll give him credit. So, the aim point of David, there's a shield. And now, not even Goliath's whole head is sticking over the top of the shield. It's just this much. He's got a very, very small aim point. I'm just saying, David didn't say, God, go get them. He took up his sling, what God had put in his hand, what God had him to do. And he said, I want you to go, and I want you to slay Goliath. And so he took this. He didn't sit back with his feet out of the desk and go get it. No, he began to wind up that sling. And I think he took good aim. But when he aimed that, when you do what the Lord wants you to do, He'll be your aimer and get it to where it needs to be. Hallelujah. And that big old mountain of a man became a plain that David climbed up on top of his chest, took his own sword out, and chopped that old boy's head off. The reason David went down into the champion, the valley, the champion valley, the reason he went down there is not because he thought he was somebody like his brothers thought of him, but he could feel, David could feel the Spirit of God on himself. He had felt it many more times as he sang praises to the Lord out underneath the stars, and the Spirit of God would come upon him. He felt it when Samuel anointed his head with oil. He felt that, and that same Spirit was on him when he exited Saul's tent. He didn't go down there stupid or ignorant because he was young. He went down there because he understood. Bears can't stand in the way of the Spirit of God. Lions can't stand in the way of the Spirit of God. And this big mouth Philistine won't stand in the way of God either. Yes. An even older example in your Bible is a guy by the name of Samson. Do you know your Bible never describes Samson as big or muscular? Never describes him like that. His enemies, thus the reason with Delilah, his enemies did not know where his power and strength came from. It wasn't because he was built like Atlas or something. His enemies had no idea where his strength came from. But we know it was the Spirit of God that provided the power. When the enemy came in against Samson, he did something under the anointing. He would feel the Spirit of God. But he didn't say, go get him. He went down and picked up a jawbone and went to work. It's the anointing of the Spirit of God that allowed Samson to kill thousands with a jawbone. I want to tell you today that this Holy Ghost is real. And as powerful as ever today, we've just forgotten about Him. We've forgotten about Him trying to figure out a weapon for Saul to use. Let me say that again because I want you to think about that. We have forgot about the anointing Spirit of the Lord that was on David, on Samson, and other judges and other people in the Old Testament. We have forgot about Him because He's available to all who will call upon Him. We have forgot about Him because we're still trying to make a weapon for Saul to use. All right, you don't get it? So I'm going to tell you in some different words. We in the church are trying to manufacture something for Saul to use instead of letting the anointing of the Holy Ghost come upon us and get the work done. We're putting all of our resources and all of our great thinkers somewhere how to fix this thing in Saul's tent. You can't. You've got to get outside of Saul's tent and walk with David in the anointing. Your lights, your smoke will not do the job. It's the anointing. It is the presence and power of the Spirit of the living God that Zerubbabel took on. When Zerubbabel got the anointing, the walls went up, the temple was rebuilt, and Jerusalem was inhabitable again. We use lots of time and studies to gauge the power of the enemy. All the while we're trying to think, oh, how big is the enemy? All the while there's a jawbone at your feet. Why not, under the anointing, pick it up and go to work? Well, they've got this and they've got that. Satan's church and all of this and Scientology and all of this. And all these people are doing wicked, bad things. And the illegal immigrants and the legal immigrants and the people who have lived here forever, there's such wickedness. Yes, there is. Bend down under the anointing, pick up the jawbone, and see what God will do through you. In our case, He's not asking you to kill them. So here is how does this work for you and me? We're happy for David, we're happy for Samson, but when it comes to you and I, how does this work? How can I have this Spirit that makes mountains into plains? How does that operate in 2026? Feels a little odd saying that, 2026. And I'm here to tell you, aren't you happy you come to church today? Because I'm going to tell you exactly how that works. It's found in your New Testament, 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. It's talking about this spirit that makes mountains, plains, leveled. 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 7. You can read the whole chapter, it'd be good for you. What I'm talking about is if you get the Holy Ghost, you can sing, it won't be by might or power, but it's by my Spirit, who has more might and more power than any enemy can conjure up. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the expression of the Spirit, is given to every man who's following the Lord to profit with all. The Holy Ghost is here for our profit, to make good for us. That's why the Holy Ghost came. That's why Pentecost came, so it would be good for us. Well, do you have the middle of January blues? Is this what I'm facing this morning? Listen. My Buffalo Bills lost in overtime yesterday. Again. And again. And again. You get my age, you kind of get used to it. Get rid of them and let the rain of the Holy Ghost hit you today. Because He's given Him. We don't have to beg God to send Him. He's here. And He can be manifested, shown, expressed. Now look at this. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit, not by a class or professor, but by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. And we're about to read what we call the gifts of the Spirit. Sadly, and I mean sadly, a lot of churches have kind of shied away from these things. Because we're busy designing weapons in Saul's tent. The gifts of the Spirit, my friends, while some should operate in the congregation, mostly, though, they're for operation out there. Where you live, where you work, where you social. That's where the gifts of the Spirit really have tremendous impact. And that's why He gives them to us. He asks us, get filled with my Spirit. What I quoted from John the Baptist, I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, for that is the Jesus baptism. I don't want any second less. I don't want to tell somebody I got it if I don't got it. I want the real, real deal, because it opens the world to all the gifts of the Spirit. And the first one mentioned here, to one is given the word of wisdom by the Spirit. I guess we can interpret to one. What does that mean? To one, this one person has the word of wisdom and this other person will have the word of knowledge and all of that. To me, I think that could be somewhat true. You're more apt to that. But I believe this self-same Spirit can deliver, at the end you'll see it, can deliver any of the gifts that are needed when they are needed. How valuable is the word of wisdom from the Spirit? When we don't know what to do. When Paul didn't know where to go on his missionary journey, he had a dream, and he got a word of wisdom in his dream, and it says, come over to Macedonia. We need you. A word of wisdom in a complex situation, and we say, well, let the Spirit of the Lord show us, and then it's God's wisdom, the wisdom that comes from heaven. Listen, we need some people with wisdom today by the Spirit. Listen, when you have the Spirit of wisdom, when the Spirit is operating, we can figure out complex things like nobody's business, because God knows everything. Ask. Are you here this morning? When you need wisdom, ask and say, Lord, we need the operation of the Spirit of wisdom here today. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Word of knowledge. Knowledge that you didn't have. You didn't learn in a book. You didn't go to school. But knowledge by the Spirit. He reveals things to you that you need to know when you need to know them. Sometimes before people tell you. Get the word of knowledge. I've always said rarely a Spirit-filled person is surprised. Rarely. Because the Spirit operates in the word of knowledge and gives you exactly what you need when you need it. In my lifetime, I've seen some pretty cool things in the operation of the Spirit, of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And I've told this story many times, and so you new people will enjoy it. The old people, you just take a break. I think in about 1969. How many was alive in 1969? So last year they made really cool cars. The 70s, they tried to maintain, but the regulations and so forth. But anyway, 1969, from 1968 turned into 1969, and in the January of 1969, the church that my dad pastored had grown so much, we had needed a new building, and we were building through that fall. We were kind of taking our time because we didn't have money. Never stopped my dad. He knows how to make take a mountain and make it a plain. And so, by the Spirit of the Lord, it is on a Sunday night. Listen, so here's a mess of gifts happening here. There's a message in tongues. There's interpretation of the tongues, but in the interpretation is the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. So it's on a Sunday night, very early in January, maybe our first service of the new year of 1969. And we had been building all fall, and we had had the basement. It's a two-level building, a cinder block basement. We had the cinder, it's built into a hill, and that was all completed. We had put the floor trusses in. For the second floor, we had put those in, and I can remember freezing my little patties off, putting nails into, I think it was plywood at that time, it's not chipboard yet, it was plywood, putting nails and bending half of them and putting them in, but I was not very old. And so, my dad made me work there anyways, for free, and my dad had gone and bought urethane seal to seal the plywood for the winter so it wouldn't get warped and all of that. He had gone and bought that. So that Sunday night, first Sunday of night of January, we're having church, and it's a wonderful service, but a lady stands up and she begins to speak in tongues. It demanded the attention of the whole room, so we recognize it as a message in tongues. And someone else, and I'm not sure who it was, I have a feeling I believe it was Sister Messler that gave the message in tongues, and Sister Hedderbury, I believe, interpreted the message in tongues. And this is what it said. Do not be afraid. Go forward with the building. Continue to build through the winter. It's going to be okay. You'll be able to do it. If I had a camera, I could go back and show you what January is like right now. In Western New York. And back in the day, snow always came. It was always a blizzard in January. It was always freezing cold. But this old woman standing up there saying by the Spirit of God, don't stop. Continue on. Continue to build the second story of the church. Go on. Don't stop. Go on. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. Because the word of knowledge, we would find out later that it was the word of knowledge. Now my dad's in a pickle. Because he's a Pentecostal pastor. And we're supposed to respect the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So now what do you do? Do you get the urethane out and say, well, God bless you, Sister Hedebrie? And my dad said, we've heard from the Lord. I'm going to take the urethane back, and we're going to start building the walls for the sanctuary and so forth. And all the men, because listen, folks, us servers don't know any better. We always do most of the work ourselves. And the guys of the church just kind of looked at each other like, hallelujah. And so we were working with Barden Homes, and we got prefab walls and so forth, and we just continued on. Through the week, my dad and his two sons would work on it. And then on Saturday, we'd have a lot, 20, 25 guys would come, and we would make hay on those Saturdays. It doesn't matter whether you believe this. I lived it. All right? All through January, up through the middle of February, we worked tirelessly. We set the roof truss. At the end of January, we set the roof truss. And began to put the roofing on. And then we began to shingle. Now, we were not done inside yet. But we began to shingle it. I lie not. Now, I don't know. I always thought my dad was pretty smart. But we got the shingles on, and you know you got to cut the edge. When you shingles, you got to cut the edge. My dad said, Scott, now you stand up here on the other side of the roof with this rope. So if I fall, and it's like, is this guy taking physics? He weighs a lot more than me. And just because I'm on the other side of the roof, I think we both going down. I wrapped that thing around my waist, got down as far as I could. And my dad's got the saw. I might be managing the electric cord as well. And he's zipping along there. And I am not telling the story for any effect. He zipped that last piece of shingle off the end and turned around. And when he turned around, the wind began to blow and the snow began to fall. We put the roof on. It was 60 degrees. Every weekend, the temperature would rise and it would be like 50 to 60 degrees. Men were putting those roof trusses on in short sleeves. But the second my dad cut that last shingle off, it grew cold and it began to snow and blow. And we just went on and did our work on the inside. By that spring, we were in the house of God, and it was full, by the way. But listen, this is the gifts of the Spirit are practical. They're not just to be used in the congregation of the saints or in the church house. They're to be used where we live. I need the word of wisdom more than in church. I need it out there with my family. I need a word of knowledge. If I don't know something, I need a word of knowledge to help me get through it. And folk, can I tell you, you bunches of rubble, it's available to you, and it's available to you today if you let Him have His way. To another faith, verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. You're like, what is this? A gift of the Spirit is faith. Aren't we all supposed to have? Well, there are times when the anointing will come upon us. When everybody's down and discouraged, but somebody stands up and says, I believe the word of the Lord. God's going to see us through this thing. I know it. I'm not guessing it. I know it. That's the gift of faith by the Holy Ghost. When He speaks to you in that kind, it is a beyond natural faith. It says, it sees what God sees rather than what man sees. Sometimes you need that special anointing from the Spirit of God in order so you'll believe. Believe God's Word. Above all else, believe God's Word. As you can see, a lot of these gifts are interactive. They overlap, maybe I should say. For without faith, how can you have gifts of healing? to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. It is the same Spirit that rebuilt Jerusalem. It's the same Spirit that directed David's stone. It's the same Spirit that led... I want to go back there for a minute. I want to talk about Samson for a minute. Or a minute and a half. What a foolish man. I don't know if any of you remember, I've preached it a couple of times. I was sitting right where CC's sitting. The Lord showed me, open your Bible to Judges and I'll show you the last 125 years of the Pentecostal church. And he showed me the life of Samson. And how we got a brush cut. But tell me something. What gifts of the Spirit were operating on him that he would direct him when now he's blind. Delilah did her job. They poked his eyeballs out. They cut his hair. And he becomes a mule. He's grinding out corn in prison. And one last thing, the Philistines wanted to come make fun of him. But more importantly, they wanted to make fun of his God. They wanted to exalt Baal. They wanted to exalt their gods. And so they brought him out for spectacle reasons. In essence, to say, look at people who defy the Philistines, this is how they end up. Oh, I wonder where Delilah was. Who directed Samson to the right pillars? There had to be a word of knowledge to Samson to go to the proper pillars. To ask that boy, lead me to the right pillars. And so, have you ever tried to push a pillar over? I go home tonight, get into a doorway, and try to push it out. See how far you get. This is an arena. It held thousands of people. It's an arena. And somehow he gets beside the cornerstone pillars. That if they go, the whole thing goes. And he gets in the right spot. And then Samson felt what he hadn't felt in quite a while. It's the same anointing that caused him to kill a lion. It's the same anointing that caused him to tear the gates of a city off. It's the same anointing that he killed all those Philistines with a jawbone with. He felt it come again. And he said, oh, glory to God, one more time. One more time. Spirit of God, move upon me. It wasn't the muscular situation of Samson that caused that arena to fall. It was the power of Almighty God surging through. And as he pushed under the anointing, you know, we can be kind of strong when the adrenaline, there was something more than adrenaline surging through Samson. It was the Spirit of God. And as he pushed those pillars, the entirety of the arena fell. And it says he killed more in his death than he ever did in his life, his enemies. He did more damage to his enemies in his death that day by the Spirit of the Lord. Can I tell you, your battles are not won by how big and bad your enemies are, how much power they display. That's not how you. It's not what you fear. You say, oh God, keep me in a way that the Spirit of God might be able to come upon me. I encourage the Pentecostal churches of the world to come walk out of Saul's tent. I encourage you to quit putting a hair clipper to your head. Take it away and let the hair grow again. Let the Spirit of God grow again. Let us once again depend on the Spirit of the Lord. Can I tell you something else? I direct the government of the United States of America, the White House and the Vice President and the Houses of Congress, the Senate and the Supreme Court. Let's quit relying on ourselves and turn back to the Lord. Let's do what our money says. In God we trust. Let the Holy Ghost have America again. To the another, a gift of healing by the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost is moving and you are healed, you don't have to fake it. You don't have to make the evangelist look good. You're just healed. And you declared what God has done. These are not only, this gifts of healing are not the famous, only to famous evangelists. But let me tell you, the best, I shouldn't say best, but one of the best ways the gifts of healing can transpire is when your neighbor comes over weeping and telling you that his wife has a terminal disease. And instead of you patting him on the shoulder, you feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost come upon you and say, take me to your wife. I will pray for her, and the God whom I serve will heal her. Talk about evangelism. That's better than friendship evangelism. To another, the working of miracles. Not fake miracles. Remember the guy had an earpiece in, his wife was reading the prayer request, and he made believe he knew the names of the people that he was calling out. Is there a Sarah here? And this is your situation. All the while, his wife is reading the prayer request in his ear. That's not a miracle. That's not a word of knowledge. That's not a word of wisdom. That's called stealing. But can I tell you that the Spirit of the living God does miracles today? He will open a Red Sea for you if He has to. He'll do whatever is needed. He'll change the course of rivers because He's a God of miracles. He'll do whatever it takes. You say, really? Really? We just don't believe it anymore. We've cut our hair so many times so that we might be accepted. The rest of the world's cutting their hair. Why shouldn't we cut our hair? Because, stupid, it is the symbolism of your anointing. And I'm not talking about literal hair. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. And we keep pushing Him away. We could push it away, and we keep trying to appease the people so we can get them to come into our churches. It is the exact opposite of what we should be doing. Let our hair grow. Let the Holy Ghost have His way. And let me tell you, when your neighbors experience the miracles, they'll want to know your God. The one who has been forced to believe in Allah. If he sees the power of your God, he will have to begin to question himself. To another, prophecy. Speaking truth. It's all prophecy is, friends. It's speaking forth truth. Whether it is a future event or not, prophecy is speaking God's truth out of your mouth. There's lots of situations where somebody needs to speak God's truth into that situation. I have to hurry on here. It's a lot. To another, the discerning of spirits. To discern. You see it says spirits there? It doesn't just mean discerning the situation. When you know the spirit of a thing, you know the thing. You understand that? When you know the spirit of a thing, what spirit is this? Then you can determine what to do. Either to accept it or reject it. The discerning of spirits. In the, I don't know when it was, early 90s, and we had all these Ukrainians who became refugees under the communist regime of the Soviet Union. You see, Ukraine and Russia have a tremendous long history. Very long ago, Russia invaded Ukraine, okay? It wasn't just recent. It's very, very long ago. And long ago, the Soviet Union recruited their young men into their army. Anyways, Christians have been persecuted there for a very long time, very heavily persecuted. Anyways, Reagan and Gorbachev made a deal to let Jews come back to Israel, and underneath that was said they would let Christians leave if they had a place to go. And so many of them did not have a place to go, but they just wanted out. And so they were all over Europe waiting people in the United States to welcome them. See, these guys came over legally. They went through a legal process and waiting for sponsors. And Deb and I prayed about it. We said we sponsor family. You all know the story. We got about 50, 60 people when it was all said and done. But there was this little guy, shorter than me. Not Reuben either. His name was Marion Sulema. And he was a pastor in Lviv. And he had come over with his family. And I was there with some of my church people greeting him. He had one of his daughters with him. And I greeted him. He had a little black derby hat on. I remember it like yesterday, with a long dark coat. It was in the winter. And when he got off that plane, he and I, he speaks no English. I speak no Ukrainian. Maybe Slava Bohu, but that's it. We looked at each other in the eye, and we approached each other and hugged. And I had a discerning spirit that his spirit and my spirit were in accord. It was that quick. We became brothers. It was just that quick. That's a discerning of spirits. When your spirit agrees with another person's spirit, you know the Spirit of the Lord is among you. It was a wonderful thing. We started the Slavic Bible Institute. He couldn't speak English, and I couldn't speak Ukrainian, and his daughter spoke a lot of Ukrainian and not much English, but we started the Slavic Bible Institute that trained hundreds of pastors, Russian and Ukrainian pastors, that are here in America and Canada today. Because why? Because there was your spirit and my spirit are together. We hadn't met each other before that time. Now, there's other people I've met, and we're both in the ministry, and I shook their hand and look in their eye, and it's like, we are not of the same spirit. God bless. And it's them saying that. Oh, Thurber. Okay. Yeah, have a good day. If you know the spirit of a thing, you'll know whether it's good or bad. If you got a few more minutes, just a few more minutes, another diverse of different kinds of tongues. That's glossolalia. There's so much, and I don't have time today. I have preached on glossolalia before, but there's more to glossolalia than just messages and tongues in church, okay? There's a lot more to that. But there is that ministry of the message in tongues in a church service or at your home, wherever you are. Listen, if you feel the Spirit of God come on you and you begin to speak in tongues in the shower, can I tell you something? You after go now. Sometimes you could just say, "Well, that Jude, you're building up yourself in the most holy faith." There are other times when you say, "Lord, I need to know what you're saying," and ask the Lord to interpret that for you, so your mind can know what He's saying. It doesn't have to be public. All right. The point is, the Lord wants to begin to exercise His gifts in us a lot more than we're letting Him. If we think it's confined to an hour and a half a Sunday morning and Sunday night, we might not have the right frame of mind. To another, the interpretation of tongues we have experienced. But all these, are you there, verse 11? But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost, my friends. You ask me, Pastor, why are you asking for the manifest presence of God? Because He's the one that has all the answers. He has the power to heal. He has the power to do miracles. He has the power of wisdom and of knowledge and all of these things. He has it all. And we have shunned Him like fools. We have shunned Him like Saul, sitting in his tent, while Goliath is yelling down in the valley. Saul sits there, but David, under the anointing, went out and slew Goliath and had a great victory. You understand what I'm saying today? This Spirit divides to every man severally as he. That should be capital. as the Spirit will. It's saying the Holy Ghost will bring to you what you need when you need it. Sometimes, not all the time, maybe not all, a majority of the time, but sometimes He will use somebody else in your life to bring you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a healing, whatever the case might be. He may use them to do that too. We are under the direction and power of the Holy Spirit. We have things to do, just not in our own power. In conclusion, thank you, whoever my speech teacher was in college. She says, you want them to get to pick their heads up? Say, in conclusion. In conclusion, Tim, no mountain is high enough to stand in His way. No enemy is too tough. No enemy is too tough. No situation. Hey, Tim, if you could give me one more gun. This is a very odd. Bigger than all my mountains. And Jamie's going to have to sing it. If we are walking in the fullness of the Spirit, there's no mountain high enough. There's no situation so complicated. There's no enemy too tough. If we're walking in the fullness of the Spirit. I know this is not a large church. I wasn't born yesterday. But for a long time, I said your priority is to be full of the Spirit. It's my priority to be filled with the Spirit of God and to walk in that Spirit, because He figures everything else out. He will give you the wisdom. I love that scripture. Our weapons are not carnal or fleshly, but they are strong by His Spirit. They are strong to the pulling down of the strongholds. They are mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds. That doesn't come by my muscle. It comes by the Spirit of the Lord. You need not remain in complexity. You don't need to be confused. You don't need to be wallowing in sorrow. Get up, get filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and go forward into the valley and bring your slingshot. How do you get this? We sang it already. You ask, you seek, and you knock. Jesus said, if your fathers, earthly fathers, know how to give you good gifts, if you ask for a stone, He doesn't give you. If you ask for bread, He doesn't give you a stone. If you ask for something else, He doesn't give you a serpent. And Jesus says this. He says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you just ask for it? Everybody, I don't care if you're an old-time Pentecostal. I don't care if you just got born again. We ask, we seek, and knock. And He answers, and He is found, and He opens. That's just the way it is. There's no variation in that. You are not an exception to that. Angela, can you get the words for me, please? He's bigger than all my mountains. God's got a big hand. And He'll squish that mountain down and make it a plain. You're not feeling what I'm feeling. He'll take His hand. That mountain that you're facing, that stubborn prodigal that won't come home, He's got a big hand. Mush that mountain down. Make it a plain. that doctor's diagnosis and then his prognosis. It might be a big mountain. My God's got a bigger hand. Push it down. How do you believe? You believe by the Spirit of God. Let's stand together. And I know this is a very altar call-ishy. But it's something that we've got to get down into our souls. We've got to sink it. It's got to sink deep. Because here it's okay. But when you're out there, even on your way home today, you're going to need the Holy Ghost and power. Is that the first verse?
Give me the second verse. Bigger than all of the giants of fear and unbelief. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Yes, yes, yes.
Bigger than all of my hands, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.